Demas said. A weapon to cleanse Satzika Secundus of the warp storm that afflicts it.
Aye, Pisan agreed. Deploy the weapon.
And suffer further for our dauntless enterprise, Tokora said. I will see an end to this madness once and for all. There is a reason the Gela device was lost to the Adeptus Mechanicus. It is a failure. We are experimenting with forces we will never understand, punching holes in reality all over the galaxy. The warp cannot be controlled or eradicated. As a medium, it is defined by its mutable unpredictability. I will not unleash such forces again. Artifacts such as the Gela device are the harbingers of doom.
You speak against the holy quest for knowledge, Master Pisan accused.
I speak against the foolhardy Adeptus Mechanicus, Tokora told them, whose priests roam the galaxy like carrion crows, picking the past clean of dangers long lost and ushering them into the present. Nevermore! Nevermore! Such artifacts should be uncovered only so they can be destroyed and plague the galaxy no more with histories repeated.
We cannot be part of this, Attica Diodemus said, shaking his head. You ask us to indulge techno-heresy.
You ask us to break with Mars, Pisan said.
Your Fabricator General is lost, Tokora said, and your Fabricator Locum is dead. All that was once cold and pure of Satzika Secundus exists here, in this fleet, of which I am ranking tech priest. I speak with the authority of the machine god incarnate. You speak with the authority of the dead and the damned.
You are mad, Diodemus said.
No, I am resolute, Tokora said. Your Forge World and Fabricator General have turned traitor. If you insist upon serving them still, you shall force me to charge you with heresy.
Pisan and Diodemus looked to one another, reading the electrostatic charge of each other's presence. Pisan nodded to himself and the Fulgurite priest. He turned to leave the chamber with his electromancers behind him. The Fulgurites followed. As Attica Diodemus made to depart, he stopped and leant on the shaft of his stave.
There are many forms of heresy, my lord, he told Omnid Tokora before leaving the chamber.
The bulkhead door rumbled closed behind him, locking with a heavy clunk. The Archmagos stood alone. He felt the self-inflicted bite of recrimination. Burdening the Luminum with truths that were not theirs had been imprudent, unwise, dangerous. Then, of course, there had been the untruths they had forced him to tell.
Security authorization 1/22/00/4. Accept.
Omnid Tokora announced to the chamber, following the sequence with a blurt of binaric code. The deck section upon which the Archmagos was standing cleared its seals with a jet of pressurized gas. The section descended at a slow rumble into the chamber below. Situated beneath the Archmagos's private quarters was a hidden laboratorium. Artisans, Magi Ethericus, and servitors moved about the chamber, hard at work. At the descent of their Archmagos, the tech priests stopped to acknowledge the one who was both their Mechanicus master and the Magos overseeing their clandestine project. In the center of the chamber was a Gela device, an etheric bomb constructed according to the STC template specifications. It was twice the size of the device crafted on Satzika Secundus and calibrated at Tokora's command to deliver 10 times the immaterial payload.
Status report, Tokora put to the priests.
Construction of the Gela device is almost complete, my lord, a Magos Ethericus told his master. And it awaits a target of your designation.
Excellent, Magos, Omnid Tokora replied. I have one in mind.
0100. Selected Dentrica 1/1. Engage Neural Congress. Wireless Autoshunt acquired. Uploading. The Sanctity of the Machine. It began with the phylactic signature. Omnid Tor'Kora had been making his way down to the diagnostic quorum. He had been alerted to a fresh attack on a Skitari operations base on the ash wastes of Cytonia, a downed Titan god machine in the Targaryen Mountains, a column of dune crawlers hit by gunships on the Numenisk freightway, and yet another determined assault on the deep core mines of the Orticus Chasma. The Archmagos cursed himself. He should have done a better job of hiding the site's significance, perhaps by fortifying other seemingly unimportant targets. Now Idris Krendel smelled a strategy, a site Tor'Kora desperately wanted to hold on to. This only convinced the Iron Warrior's warsmith, whose tactical instincts were demonstrated all over the planet, that it was necessary to deprive the Archmagos of it. As Tor'Kora marched down the passageway, the broad frame of his armored suit requiring passing deck servitors, Skitari soldiers, and tech priests to hug the opposite wall, his supercogitators and rune banks processed the torrent of information being relayed to him. Troop movements, casualty audits, data tethers, a Titan manifold interface, observational data from info-slaves, scryer drones and servo-skulls drifting through the myriad war zones of the Traitor Forge world. All this the Archmagos processed through the supercogitators housed in his armored chest pulpit. With slender, multi-digited appendages feverishly at work at rune screens and glyph keys, Tor'Kora allowed himself to become distracted by a phylactic signature. It simply wasn't possible. The identification belonged to Ansis 86 Ultiga. Omnid Tor'Kora had been with the Skitarius when he had died. He had sanctioned the cybernetic soldier's death for tactical advancement and the assurance of a successful enemy attack thwarted. Ultiga's identification showed up first at the Cytonia operations base as part of the Avensis 6 Regnulticon, a ranger cohort to which the soldier did not belong. Tor'Kora had one of his diagnostic quorum attempt to establish phylactic communion with Ultiga, but was informed that no such data tether existed. From there, Ultiga boarded the troop compartment of a lighter bound for the Ford ship Steropes, with a hold full of Skitari soldiers in need of repairs and cybernetic surgery. He was not listed among those in need of maintenance. Directing a security automaton to investigate aboard the Ford ship, Tor'Kora detected the briefest suggestion of a struggle in the automaton's feeds before the machine went abruptly offline. By now convinced that he was monitoring the progress of an infiltrator, the Archmagos had a demiclade of Sicarian rust stalkers assembled on the flight deck of the Maestral, waiting for a cargo hauler Ultiga had commandeered from the hangar bay of the Forge ship. A search of the cargo hauler revealed only a servitor pilot and an open airlock hatch. The infiltrator had left the vessel early, leapt from the hull of the Ark cruiser whilst exposed to the void, and gained entrance by way of a maintenance hatch. Grinding to a halt in the passage, his deck crumpling footfalls slowing to a hydraulic sigh, Tor'Kora scanned the feeds and local vox channels for unusual activity. The infiltrator had made it aboard the Maestral without raising an alarm. He seemed familiar with the systems, identification and organization of Skitari contingents about the fleet, and demonstrated some knowledge of the Maestral. Tor'Kora, ever eager to gather data, test contingencies, and learn from his enemy, had allowed the infiltrator the freedom to demonstrate his strategies. This would only assist the Archmagos in identifying vulnerabilities and addressing weaknesses in the fleet's security. The infiltrator had got much further than Tor'Kora had anticipated. Now, aboard the Ark cruiser, the Archmagos was loath to let him get much further. Ortega's identification signatures had disappeared. His wasn't the only one. Several Skitari sentinels and a deck sub-alpha's feeds died, one near the maintenance bays and two on the upper barracks decks. Omnid Tor'Kora turned and made his way back towards his personal chambers, his hydraulic legs thudding into the deck. Feeling his way through the ship, its section logs, rune banks and Skitari vox channels, Tor'Kora made a discovery that tested the logic coils of his cogitators. While the identification signatures of Ansis 86 Ultiga had disappeared, the authorizations of an unregistered Skitari Alpha had replaced them. At a sentry point, a security bulkhead, and under the security of a patrolling info-slave servo-skull, The infiltrator had used authorizations and clearances that Takora had known well. Biometric profiling at a barbican leading to the refectorium deck just beyond Takora's chambers confirmed the identity of the infiltrator. His flesh couldn't lie.
Sub-Alpha Estec,
Takora transmitted to the duty officer charged with the ship's security.
Place the upper decks on alert, then report to my chambers with a sentinel squad. Heavily armed, if you please. At once, Archmagos.
The Skitarius returned. By the time Takora reached his chambers, Estec and his Skitari were already there. The sub-alpha was checking the life signs and data returns of the two Skitari sentries stationed at the Archmagos's chamber bulkhead. They were dead. Takora was less surprised than the sentinel squad, who immediately fell to covering the open bulkhead door with their arc rifles. Takora had felt their deaths and even caught a glimpse of their killer in the picked feeds of their final moments. Having access codes to the refectorium deck and the Archmagos's personal chambers sealed it for Takora. There could be no doubt as to the identity of the infiltrator now.
Omnispectrals,
Sub-Alpha Estec ordered. Scanning, a Skitari sentinel told him, then confirmed.
One signal. Sub-Alpha Estec, Takora said. We have an enemy intruder on the ship. A saboteur, possibly an assassin. I want him taken alive. Do you understand? Yes, Archmagos,
Estec said, before addressing his squad.
Recalibrate weaponry. 7 Modifex BTOC. Garmonic 4 Fectra. Remain with Lord Takora.
Filing into Takora's chambers, the Skitari sentinels hugged their arc rifles to their shoulders. Their optics peered down the length of their barrels as they aimed this way and that, scanning corners, clearing alcoves and side chambers as they searched the room. The intruder did not wait. The side of a Skitari sentinel's head erupted in a shower of brain and cranial augmetics. Before the warrior had time to hit the deck, 2 others were down. One cybernetic soldier clutching a blasted throat and rebreather, another taking a round in his mask. The chamber filled with light and storm as Sub-Alpha Estec and his sentinels blazed streams of lightning about them. The torrent tore through rune banks and raged in spidery arcs across burnished walls. Baroque furniture was blasted across the room and shattered while podium hololithics and port screen overlays were scrambled into static.
Lock on target and...
Sub-Alpha Estec announced, but he got no further. The infiltrator came out from behind a sizzling column with pistols blazing. Estec took round after round to the chest, his warplate providing little or no protection. As the Skitari officer hit the chamber floor, Garmonic 4 Fectra opened a channel.
Reserve sentinels to the refectorium decks immediately, the Skitari transmitted. Follow us, please, Archmagos.
7 Modifex BTOC told Takora, retreating with Garmonic 4 Fectra back up the passage. Takora stood his ground, watching as Skitari stumbled before the open chamber door. As they fell back onto the polished metal of the floor, the silent whoosh of pistol fire finished them.
Archmagos, Garmonic 4 Fectra said, this is not something we will discuss. We have to get you to safety. No,
Takora said, as arc streams seared wildly across the chamber, even feeling their way through the open bulkhead as Skitari sentinels were executed and fired their last. Laying gauntlets on Takora's weapons cradles, 7 Modifex BTOC and Garmonic 4 Fectra pulled at the tech priest's monstrous frame.
Archmagos, please,
7 Modifex BTOC said. There is protocol. It was futile, however. Omnid Takora might just have been the withered cable-shot remains of an old man, but his armored suit was as broad as an Adeptus Astartes dreadnought and weighed as much as an armored personnel carrier. There would be no removing the Archmagos to safety. As the last of the Skitari sentinels were dropped by expert pistol fire, the infiltrator stepped out where Takora could see him. He was dressed in the shattered warplate and rags of a Skitari ranger. The scavenged, bolt-shredded uniform and warped combat chassis bore the identifications of Ansis 86 Ultiga, killed in action on the planet below. The cybernetics were a perversion of the ranger's form, half hidden beneath the ash-stained, bolt-savaged trench cloak that the infiltrator held about him. In a pair of black metal claws, he carried what appeared to be radium pistols that glowed with a fell illumination. The barrel of each pistol tapered into a baroque silencer. Tokora's rad sensors told him that the pistols weren't crackling with radiation, but with something much, much worse. As the infiltrator stepped forward, his weapons pointed downwards, he spread the brains and workings of the felled sentinels across the polished floor. Betok and Garmonic stepped forward to protect the Archmagos, blazing streams of electrical fury at the infiltrator. The nightmare figure became a globe of sizzling brilliance as the arc streams met the energy interference of a dark mechanicum field generator. As the fire died away and the spherical shielding spat with the last of the dissipating energy, the infiltrator advanced, lifting his pistols. Adapting aim and targeters, the dark figure pulled on the triggers, unleashing round after round into the cybernetic soldiers. Their warplate was as nothing to the passage of the cursed slugs. Their life signs and returns faded away on Tokora's overlays, as the Archmagos' targeting reticules danced across the analyzed vulnerabilities of the infiltrator's twisted form. The squad of Skitari sentinels was dead. The tech priest's augurs only detected one biometric signature in the chamber. Beneath the rags of his disguise and the infiltrator's scavenged, jury-rigged cybernetics was flesh that Tokora's runebanks recognized.
"Striker unit," Tokora said, the
modulations of his voice echoing along the passage. The infiltrator said nothing. With the warping defense field shimmering about him, the cybernetic abomination that had been Haldron 44 Striker, Alpha Primus of Tokora's Skitari legions, shrugged off his trench cloak. The stolen warplate of the dead Altiga, recovered from the ruined trench works surrounding the deep core mine, slipped from his combat chassis like a second skin. With the identifications of Altiga's bionics, the biometric returns of his flesh, and the codes of an Alpha Primus, Striker had made it into the presence of an enemy commander. Ejecting his pistol magazines and allowing them to clunk to the floor, the twisted thing that had been Haldron 44 Striker reloaded his warped weapons and slipped off his shattered helm. Without his disguise, which had been enough to give the impression of a horrifically wounded Skitari soldier in need of maintenance and cyber surgery, Striker was a butchered mess. The pallid sickliness of his skin was threaded with warp-encrusted cables and lines, pumping a black treacle of intravenous corruption into his flesh. Altiga's recycled workings had been modified by Dark Mechanicum Heretics into the mangled brilliance of cybernetics, all spikes, serrations, and razored appendages, with the barbed frame of the twisted combat chassis stretching Striker's feverish skin to transparency. The hunch of a warp-fueled reactor erupted from the former Skitarius's mauled back, powering his bionics and the field generator that enveloped his heretical form in a sphere of immaterial energy. His warped flesh bore the horrors of torture and merciless experimentation, while the impassive mask of his face sat over cranial augmentations that sparked and sizzled, causing Striker to twitch and contort his features. His eyes were covered by the black glass of goggles, which lent the infiltrator the inhumanity of a predatory insect. Tokora reached out for the former Alpha Primus, attempting to establish phylactic communion with the wretched construct, but found nothing. Whatever dark mechanicum butcher had presided over his transformation had torn such capabilities from Striker's brain. For a moment, confronted with the horror of what Haldron 44 Striker had become, and what Idris Krendel and his heretic priests had put him through, the Archmagos felt a pang of regret. The warsmith had twisted Striker into a ruinous weapon, an assassin driven by cursed workings, warped flesh, and a bitterness born of newly discovered hate. Tokora could almost feel the cankered hostility of the warrior he had left to suffer at the hands of Krendel and his infernal priests. Responsibility. It was a redundant concept, buried deep within a humanity that the Archmagos had long thought lost. He was not built for the processing of such sentiment. Like white blood cells attacking the source of an infection, his protocols and imperatives zeroed in on the emotion, appropriated it, modified it for purpose. Omnid Tor'Kora felt responsible for Stryker, for the thousands of Skitarii soldiers he had allowed to die on Vulcanus Magna in the name of data collation, for the billions of Forge Worlders on Satsika Secundus who were now slaves to darkness, all because of his feverish need to explore, discover, and appropriate the perilous technologies of old. All in the name of the Great Maker. Responsibility found expression in resolution. The Machine God needed serving in ways anew. The Adeptus Mechanicus had lost its way. Like a runaway monitor train, armored and uncaring, running at full speed but with no one at the controls, the Adeptus Mechanicus would soon run out of track. They would be derailed of their holy purpose, if they hadn't been already, and crash spectacularly in some apocalyptic accident of their own making, destroyed by appetite and greed. Omnid Tor'Kora would bring the runaway ambitions of the Adeptus Mechanicus to a halt. The Martian Empire would be saved from itself. It would be like the machine and endure, rather than tear itself to pieces with destructive demands and discoveries. "By all that is cold and pure," Tor'Kora announced, "by the sanctity of the machine, all things logical, true, and omniscient, I compel the corruption of this construct to release his soul, caged as it is within the confines of heretical augmentation." Stryker's face twitched, and his cranial bionics sparked with unnatural brilliance. He brought up a pistol and aimed it at his former master.
"Great Maker," the tech priest said, "whose motive force infused this servant once with the spark of life and service to the machine, whose blessed algorithms guided, whose oils consecrated, and whose augmentations made more of this once true construct than he could ever have been."
The silencer muzzle of Stryker's pistol wavered and shook with the machine god's benedictions. It did not stop the infiltrator's clawed talon pulling back on the trigger in bitterness, silent rage, and pain. Tor'Kora felt the round pass hot through his workings. Bathed in the immaterial power of the warp, the shells were simultaneously part of the moment, the physical presence of metal casing and force, and the unreality of the beyond. Tor'Kora's systems alerted him to the fact that the pistol slug had passed straight through his conversion field, through the clinker plate of his armored shell, and into the hydraulics, cabling, and workings of his suit. His optic overlays flashed with diagrammatical data, damage reports, power readings, and diagnostics. Ignoring the hololithic miasma, he took a thudding step towards Stryker and his raised pistol.
"Embrace the glorious workings of this, your servant, and admit him once more to the wondrous interface of godly communion."
Stryker fired again. The trembling silencer jumped twice, three times, as the weapon thudded shells into the approaching tech priest, two into the pulpit, and one in Tor'Kora's armored hood. Overlays warped and sizzled, as the supercogitators and rune banks of the pulpit reported battle damage to their own systems. One of the shells had plucked at the hood of Tor'Kora's robes, right next to his corpse face, burying itself in the suit plate clinkered about his hairless, age-mottled head. Another warp-irradiated slug had ripped through his workings and passed hot through the flesh of his cable-ported torso. Auto-Medicae subroutines took over, and elixirs of alchemic regeneration flooded the body socket, going to work at the ragged wound in the tech priest's side. It was a feeling of searing immediacy. For so many years, Omnid Tor'Kora had fought the foes of the Omnisar with the wonder of his technologies and through the phylactic manipulation of his warrior servants. It had been a long time since Tor'Kora had actually fought an enemy face to face.
"I ask you, God of the machine," Omnid Tor'Kora continued,
each weighted step taken with the righteous determination of a priest invoking his deity.
Omnisire incarnate, he who hears all, sees all, and knows all, call unto him this tempered tool, this weapon of your holy arsenal. Cleanse him of callings untrue. Untwist what has been twisted. Flush the pollution of false belief from flesh and iron. Bring forth in his workings the protocols of blessed operation and the doctrinal imperatives of mechanical obedience. Manifest in him the cold strength of iron true and the spark of service once known in his wayward flesh.
Tokora watched Haldron 44 Stroika struggle against the blessings and benediction with which the tech priest showered him. Stroika's pallid flesh steamed at the words, while the black curd of the taint pumping through his body dribbled down his chin at the machine god's invocation. He bent double and vomited forth a stream of bubbling corruption onto the polished floor of the chamber. As Tokora closed on him, the afflicted construct's pistols came back up, rattling in his metal claws. As his cranial augmentation sparked, energies crackling about his head, Stroika tried to fight all but forgotten protocols, subroutines, and the cold tyranny of imperatives, the inflexibility of orders passed down from the Omnisire himself, the very word of the machine god. With each shower of sparks and cranial crackling, Stryker's expression of blank hatred contorted to spiritual agony. The pistols lowered, and then came up. They dropped with Stryker's struggle, before being thrust back at the tech priest with a murderous desire drawn from the very bottom of his polluted soul.
Enough!
Stryker spat from corruption-spattered lips. His claws tightened about the suddenly still pistols.
Yes, Tokora told him.
Enough. Stroika unit.
As Stroika yanked back on the triggers, intending to riddle Tokora with warp-charged shells, Tokora enacted his Aegis protocols. The tech priest's armored suit suddenly came to life. Magna hydraulics and chunky pistons fired, bringing stowed heavy weapons around in their appendage cradles. Two monstrous hydraulic arc claws opened at the ends of heavy cybernetic arms, like the petals of a metal flower. The brute barrels of a torsion cannon slid down a carriage rail to lock into place beneath one claw. On the other arm, a squat weapons array slotted into position, the revolving barrels of its gatling arrangement sitting between the outstretched talons of the crackling arc claw. Stryker's pistols bucked as shell after cursed shell rocketed towards the tech priest. Tokora returned fire with the autocannons of his Icarus weapons array, sending a blizzard of slugs at Stroika. The shells flashed the unnatural colors of the warp as the assassin's shielding did its best to soak up the blistering autofire. The immaterial rounds from Stroika's pistols hammered through the workings of Tokora's armored suit, thudding into his withered shoulder and through his gut. Cycling the Icarus array around the thick hydraulics of his weapons appendage, Tokora fired rocket after rocket at Stroika. The warp-fueled shielding seemed to hold against the blinding detonations, though Stroika was driven back with every colossal impact. Stomping forward, Tokora kept the devastating barrage up, rockets reloading with every clunking revolution of the Gatling array. Stroika was blasted back and forth by the rocking explosions, the exotic energies of the Dark Mechanicum field generator collapsing under the onslaught. As the smoke and glare of detonations faded, Tokora found Stroika coughing up corruption, half bent over. His energy shielding flickered on and off before fizzling to a shimmer, while his flesh was scorched by rocket fire. One of his pistols had been knocked from a blasted claw, and Stroika fought to reload the other.
"Submit, as a true construct of the blessed Omnisire," Tokora said,
auto-loading rockets and aiming the tri-barrels of his torsion cannon at Stroika.
"The motive force compels you!"
Stryker howled his spiritual agonies at the deck, while his flesh seared to blackness about the cursed metal of his combat chassis. Slamming a fresh magazine of warp-irradiated bullets into his pistol, Stryker went to shoot again. Charging his torsion cannon, the tech priest blasted a force stream of particles at him from the weapon's flared muzzles. As the gravitational fields hit Stryker, the torsion cannon's barrels began to turn and rotate about one another. Knocking him back with their frame-smashing force, the locked fields of each barrel mercilessly tore and twisted at Stryker, shearing an arm off at the joint, crumpling the metal of his combat chassis within his tortured flesh, and shattering the automotive hydraulics of his legs. Hitting the far wall, Stryker landed as a shattered mess of ruptured flesh, twisted limbs and leaking corruption. Behind him, Tokora heard the synchronous fall of footsteps as Skitari sentinels arrived on the refectorium decks.
"Stand down,"
the tech priest ordered, drawing the cybernetic soldiers to a halt. As Stryker coughed, choked, and roared the fury of his decimated flesh, Tokora stood over the broken warrior. Drawing his heavy weaponry back up their carriages and cradling his hydraulic claws and appendages, Tokora looked down at Stryker. He had caused the Alpha Primus untold agony on top of agony, and would cause him more still to right the construct he had once wronged. Stryker gagged and spat the filth of corruption up at Tokora's armored boots, the maniacal laugh of a soul twisted beyond endurance working its way out of his ruined form. He reached for a line of grenades that were pinned through the mauled flesh of his shoulder, about the shattered frame of his combat chassis. Clasping one in his metal claw, Stryker tore at it, ripping the pin from his pierced skin. His laugh became a dark chuckle of satisfaction as he held the grenade and detonator pin between them. He intended to release the warp-primed grenade and blow the pair of them to oblivion.
"No, Stryker unit," Tokora told him,
bringing up a filth-speckled boot and crushing claw, grenade, and pin between his heavy metal sole and the floor.
"I intend to make you whole again,"
Tokora announced to the chamber.
"Security authorization, 1/22/00/4. Accept."
The floor section beneath them both began to shudder. On its hydraulics, the floor descended into the laboratorium below. Artisans and magi, hard at work on the Geller bomb's final preparations, looked up at their master, their attention already long since attracted by the gunfire and explosions coming from the chamber above.
"Magos Athericus."
"Yes, my lord," the tech priest said, looking at the broken construct at Tokora's feet.
"The Geller device is ready for transportation and deployment?"
Tokora asked. "Yes, Archmagos," the tech priest replied, "with the Omnisire's blessing."
Tearing at his trapped claw and the unprimed grenade held within, Stryker's gaze lit upon the newly constructed Geller bomb. Stunned for a moment, the corrupted construct suddenly began thrashing and shrieking like a thing possessed.
"One final test," Tokora ordered. "Engage the phase fielding as a stage one build-up to detonation."
"But Archmagos," the tech priest said, "the device has already passed that test."
"Indulge me,"
Tokora ordered. As servitors cleared the chamber, artisans and magi stepped across the cabling that snaked its way in swarms across the laboratorium floor. Taking position behind console banks and screens, the tech priests fell to initiating the Geller device's detonation sequence.
"My lord, would you rather not view the test from—"
the Magos Athericus asked, but Tokora cut him off.
"Proceed."
As Stryker thrashed in his frame-shattered agonies, Tokora keeping the polluted construct and his warp grenade in place, the Baroque bomb at the center of the laboratorium clunked to life. Within its transportation scaffolding, the device made an ominous hum that unsettled the stomach and rattled the ear. The Magos Athericus narrated his test steps, but Tokora wasn't listening. He simply watched the Geller bomb come to dreadful life, field capacitors humming to charge within the weapon.
"Phase field initiation," the Magos Athericus announced.
Tokora filtered his overlays as the Geller device blazed to sudden brightness. The blinding light twinkled with an intensity that drove shadows away and scalded the walls, equipment, and laboratorium personnel to whiteness. At his feet, Stryker had fallen to filth-dribbling silence. He looked fearfully at the Geller device, as one might stare into the jaws of death.
"Field has achieved integrity," the tech priest announced over the din of the device, "perimeter expanding."
As the blazing twinkle became a bubble of searing reality, expanding as a sizzling sphere about the Geller device, Tokora felt Stryker attempt to tear his trapped claw away. As the Arch-Magos pressed down with his armored boot, Stryker roared his fear and repugnance for the Geller field. His soul was going to burn, and the corrupt construct knew it. Tokora let the bubble of reality envelop him, allowing the purging static of the device to hiss off his armor. He heard Stryker scream. His flesh scorched, and the exposed metal of his butchered cybernetics burned with an ethereal fire. Corruption gushed from his nose, his wounds, and flesh plugs, steaming away as it came into contact with the Geller field. As the phase field test allowed the bomb to reach full intensity, Stryker screamed again. This time, it wasn't the cry of a demented puppet, some plaything of ruinous monsters, but the scream of a man. It was agony, honest and true. As Tokora held him there, bathed in the intense reality of the Geller field, the Arch-Magos watched Stryker undergo a transformation. The cursed metal of his augmentations melted to pools that bubbled and evaporated. Corrupt workings sizzled, sparked, and blew like fuses, while his goggles melted down his cheeks in rivulets of black molten glass. With the filth of corruption gone and dirty lines lacing his field-bleached flesh, Stryker was but a surgery-mangled torso and head. Unconscious now, his features had relaxed, enjoying a peace he had not known for a long time. Tokora nodded at the Magos Ethericus, who ordered his priests to shut down the Geller device's phase fielding. As the sizzling bubble of reality collapsed and the humming bomb fell quiet, Tokora removed his armored boot. The warp grenade, like the twisted claw that had held it, had melted away.
"It's ready,"
Tokora told the Magos Ethericus. He looked down at the unconscious Stryker.
"But as of now, we are not the only ones to know of its existence. It is imperative we deploy the Geller device immediately. Have the bomb loaded for transportation. Now."
"As you wish, Arch-Magos."
"And have the Magos Cybernetica assemble his priests and bless his laboratorium,"
Omnid Tokora said, looking down at what remained of Haldron 44 Stryker.
"I have a subject for his surgical slab here."
0101. Selected. Dentrica 1 of 2. Engage Neural Congress. Wireless auto shunt acquired. Uploading. Warp translation. Omnid Tokora once more surveyed the decimation of war through the optics of the cybernetic soldiers fighting it. The Drastok 414 Radifrax had been pulled from their brutal siege of Forge Temple Faratoi to defend the ruined trenchworks of the Orticus Chasma. Joining the remaining Skitari manning the trenches and a kilclade of Sicarian rust stalkers, it became their duty, and the duty of their Alpha Primus, the scorch-faced Alga 14 Gallium, to secure the site against further attack. Landing excavators and dozers from arc freighters stationed overhead, Gallium and his vanguard Skitari had worked in record time to repair the defensive network about the deep core mining facility. With bombards, mortars, and earthshaker cannons trained on the approach, and the warhound Titan Canis Corporalis drowning them in its sentinel shadow, the Radifrax worked hard to establish themselves. It was not to be, however. At 2700 hours, the arc freighter Silikos identified the movement of three Dark Mechanicum war machines. Like the great creations of the Centurio Ordinatus, the Heretech machines were colossal, their towering weaponry obscene in its size and warped design. They crushed everything in their path, mulching fire-gutted buildings to dust beneath their monstrous tracks. Escorted by Dark Mechanicum armor contingents and small armies of rabid tech thralls that rode on the mighty hulls of the machines, the closing war machines aimed to join forces and take the Orticus Chasma. Tokora only had one order for Primus Gallium: to hold the Dark Mechanicum off for as long as possible. With the Geller device being loaded on board a transport bound for the planet's surface and an escort force being assembled, the Arch-Magos only asked for a few hours more, but Omnid Tokora was not granted that wish. Through Primus Gallium's optics, Tokora watched the fall of the Orticus Chasma. With a range that Tokora had failed to appreciate, the gargantuan war machines of the Dark Mechanicum opened fire on the Canis Corporalis. Smashed from side to side by fat beams of etheric energy, the Warhound's void shields shattered, and the god machine's consecrated plating erupted with the scalding passage of warping energy streams. The Canis Corporalis blasted its mega-bolters at the war machines on the horizon, but even the god machine's great weaponry could not achieve the same range. Marching on one war machine, the Titan suffered the plate-carving attentions of the other two in the horror of a coordinated attack. As Gallium watched, and Tokora with him, the Titan's crew abandoned their god machine, leaping to their deaths as the main body of the Warhound detonated. Readying his vanguard Skitari as they manned the trenches with their radioactive weaponry, Gallium watched as the escort contingents of the three mega machines stormed towards them. With gibbering tech thralls sitting on the armored shells of the Baroque battle tanks, riding in trailers and clinging to track plates, the vehicles blasted electromagnetic streams of lightning at the Skitari in the trenches. Moving between the radifracts, the crackling of their sensors a constant reminder of the way in which their weaponry was slowly poisoning them, Tokora watched the Dark Mechanicum troops advance. Those vanguard Skitari who had lost their helms in previous battles wore grim expression on faces raw with radiation burns. As a seeming afterthought, Gallium reported gunships pacing the battle tank's approach. Through the Primus's eyes and a pair of magnoculars, Tokora identified the gunships as belonging to the Iron Warriors, the canopies of the rusted craft glowing with bale light and their engines spewing black smoke. The Chaos Space Marines had not risked an aerial assault on the Orticus Chasma before, not with auto-reductor artillery stationed amongst the ruins of the Deep Core installation. Something had emboldened the Iron Warriors, who didn't require much of an excuse at any time to brazenly storm an enemy stronghold. Omnid Tokora thought he knew what that something was. With the knowledge that the Cult Mechanicus fleet had constructed a Geller device, Idris Krendel wasn't leaving anything to chance. Tokora suspected that Krendel now fully understood the strategic value of the Deep Core mines and wanted the installation in traitor hands. Before long, streams of lightning launched from Dark Mechanicum battle tanks were hammering into trenches and electrifying the shallows in which the Vanguard Skitari stood. Gun emplacements blasted vehicle-riding thralls from their perches, while radium jazails and transuranic arquebuses punched holes through armor, shredding through the monstrous engines of the tanks. With artillery raining down on the Dark Mechanicum armor, it appeared for precious minutes like the Drastok 414 radifracts might hold the trenchworks. That was until the gunships broke away. Splitting the air with the thunder of their engines, Thunderhawks, Stormbirds, and Fire Raptor gunships hit the trenchworks hard. Avenger cannons and heavy bolters rained death down on radifracts, forcing them to split fire from their radium carbines between the suicidal charge of shrieking tech thralls and the booming swoop of gunships. Battle-scarred Thunderhawks, rivet-plated with fortified armor, smashed the auto-reductor forces with bombs that tore the artillery pieces up and detonated bombard ordnance stocks. Meanwhile, ancient Stormbirds with stuttering engines and patched hulls came into land behind the trench lines, delivering their cargo of Iron Warriors. As the obliterati hit Gallium and his Skitari from behind, the battle tanks rolled in with their manic thralls. Caught between lightning streams, the stabbing beams of las carbines, and the warped weaponry of the diseased Iron Warriors, the Vanguard Skitari were blasted to pieces, their cybernetic bodies lying bolt-riddled in the shallows. As Alga 14 Gallium reported his failure to Omnid Tokora, the Alpha Primus turned. The monstrous shape of a flesh-mangled Iron Warrior towered over the Skitari officer. Bringing up his radium pistol, Gallium blasted several radioactive rounds into the abomination's chest before the thing rammed the flesh-metal digits of a malformed claw straight through his body. Lifting him off the ground, the crooked-faced Iron Warrior stared into Gallium's fading optics, his own eyes burning with jubilant hatred.
"Tell your priest that this world is ours,"
the Iron Warrior spat through twisted lips,
"and that his own is next. You hear me, don't you, priest? Grendel comes for you. Take your tin soldiers and run."
With that, the Iron Warrior unleashed a flesh-metal cannon that was part of his monstrous arm. Blasting the life out of Algor 14 Gallium, the Iron Warrior launched the body of the Alpha Primus across the corpse-strewn trenchworks. Gallium died in mid-air, allowing Tokora to see the Iron Warrior's ugly grin and the horror of the Skitarii officer's last moments. "My lord," a priestly member of Tokora's diagnostic quorum said, breaking the Archmagos's phylactic communion, "Tech priest Captain Valtram for you." Transferring his interface to the consular unit station of the bridge, Tokora addressed the Mechanicus captain.
"Tech priest captain, you have new information for me," he said,
his words proceeding from the consular unit's lips.
"Archmagos," Valtram said, "our long-range auger arrays have detected vessels entering the system."
"When?"
"Warp translation happened within the hour," Valtram said.
"Number?"
"I'd estimate about 30 vessels of various classes and tonnage," the tech priest captain said.
30 vessels?"
"Yes, my lord."
"Designation?"
Tokora asked.
"They are too far out for a visual, Archmagos, although my priests are working on that. My impression from the auger readings and array of vessels is that they are an Adeptus Mechanicus battle fleet."
"From Satzika Secundus?"
Tokora asked.
"A distinct possibility, my lord."
"Keep me informed, Tech Priest Captain," the Archmagos transmitted. "I want designation and visuals as soon as you have them."
"Yes, my lord."
Selected. Dendrica 2 of 2. Engage Neural Congress. Wireless Autoshunt acquired. Uploading. Execute. The doors to the diagnostic quorum parted. Omnid Tokora turned. It was unusual. The priests of his diagnostic quorum were permanently stationed there, with only the Archmagos coming and going. As servitors swept in to remove his communion cables, Tokora angled the bulk of his armored suit around. From the doors came a convocation of priests, members of the Lumenon, following their masters into the diagnostic quorum chamber.
"This is irregular," Tokora said.
The Giveth and the Taketh stood side by side, with their electromancers spread out behind them to give the impression of numbers.
"This matter could not wait,"
Kandeska Pizon said, his words falling clipped from his crackling lips.
"What could not wait?"
Tokora demanded of the electro-priests.
"We convened,"
Attica Diodemus said. This did not surprise the Archmagos, since it was all the Luminans seemed to do.
"Fulgurite and Corpus Kari are in agreement."
"Unusual, wouldn't you say, masters?"
Tokora said.
"If the history of the Martian Empire demonstrates anything," Diodemus said, "it is that great threats can reveal the truth, that there is more that unites different factions than divides them."
"Well, Master Diodemus, Master Pizon,"
Tokora said,
"we already face a great threat on the planet below."
"Archmagos,"
Tech Priest Captain Valtram announced across the vox.
"Yes, Captain."
"We have identified the largest vessel, my lord,"
Valtram reported.
"It is the Encoronada, an Archmechanicus of ancient lineage, hailing from—"
"Satzika Secundus,"
Tokora said.
"Supported by 8 or so cruiser-class vessels, with the rest escorts, troop carriers, forge ships, and Collegia Titanica temple barges. A battle fleet, as I suspected. A visual will confirm."
"Thank you, Tech Priest Captain," Tokora told him. "That visual as soon as you have it. Tokora out."
"So,"
Attica Diodemus said,
"reinforcements from Satzika Secundus?"
"Yes,"
Tokora agreed.
"But reinforcements for whom?"
"You believe the Fabricator General would send a fleet of his finest vessels to support our enemies?"
Diodemus asked.
"I am almost sure of it," Tokora said. "Now, masters, time is pressing. I expect to be engaging those vessels in battle within the hour, As you said yourself, we face a great threat.
The threat to which we were referring, Candesca Pison told him, is you, Archmagos.
Tokora looked up. For the first time, he realized that the electro-priests were not wearing their ship robes. Instead, they were stripped to the waist, their subdermal circuitry glowing beneath their muscular flesh.
Masters Diodemus Pison, Tokora said, what are you really doing here?
We cannot support your prosecution of this war, Diodemus said. We are the check.
The balance, Pison said.
The Fabricator General trusted that we would watch over the Fabricator Locum,
Diodemus said.
With him gone, we look to guide you. But you will not be guided. By us, or by the light of the motive force, you speak against the holy tenets of the quest for knowledge. You threaten Satsika Secundus and its people. You speak against the Fabricator General himself, interpreting what little evidence you have to suit your ambitions.
Ambitions? Tokora marveled. You are an explorator, Candesca Pison accused.
An outlander.
A loner.
A radical who walks his own path rather than the one set out for him, Diodemus said. You pervert the divine stratification of our ranks, using the resources of the Adeptus Mechanicus to prosecute your own will.
Some might say you have gone rogue, Omnid Tokora, Pison said. That your battles with the Renegade and the Xenos have given you a taste for subversion.
For conquest, Diodemus added, even of your own.
You have the gall to lecture me on subversion and conquest, Tokora rumbled. Priests of the Temple Court, keepers of the Fabricator General's faith. Those who cog, weave lies and whisper behind his back to advance themselves or those to whom they are allied. You call me a loner. In that much, at least, you are right, since I would favor the cold emptiness of the void with only the distant stars for company rather than priests like you. Men who kill by committee, which is exactly why you are here today. With a war half fought and an enemy fleet at our backs, you choose today to judge me?
Omnid Tokora,
Attica Diodemus said.
Archmagos Explorator, the Luminen judge your actions extreme and your objectives questionable. You are to be taken from this place and placed in chrono-containment until such time as you can be judged by a chamber of your priestly peers. Will you submit?
Or will you force us to destroy you in the attempt?
Candesca Pison said. The electrostatic gauntlets about his hands and the cabling leading to his spinal capacitor crackling with power. Tokora looked from Pison to Diodemus. He allowed his optics to move across the convocation of priests. The Corpuscari with their node-sizzling gauntlets, the Fulgurites leaning against their power-leeching staves. In turn, Tokora sensed that all eyes and optics of the diagnostic quorum were on him.
I fear, masters, Tokora said, brothers of the light, that it is easier to judge a construct in the darkness. You have no eyes to see the innocence in his.
Tokora fired the hydraulics on his appendage cradles, opening his claws and allowing his suit's heavy weaponry to lock into place. As he did so, the Luminen attacked. Faces of priestly calm twisted in open hostility. The Corpuscari lit up in a spidery blaze of arcs and snapping energy, the nodes of their halos and electrostatic gauntlets glowing to brilliance. Moving their hands in sacred gestures, their cabling draped like wings, the electromancers blasted columns of raw energy at the Archmagos. With streams of electrical power slamming into his armored suit, overloading systems and paralyzing hydraulics, Tokora was forced back. Grunting his exertions and with smoke drifting up from his chest pulpit, the tech priest stumbled back into a phylactic interface, demolishing the empty console. Thrusting his open claw forward, Tokora blasted his array of autocannons at the convocation, the hail of rounds taking off heads and shredding through the bare chests of electro-priests. Suddenly, a Fulgurite priest was before the Archmagos, turning and spinning the length of his stave. He smacked the weapon's appendage with the cog ends of the leeching weapon, and Takora's autocannon stuttered to a stop as the cradle autoloaders lost power. Sparks flew from the plate of Takora's chest pulpit as another came in, weaving expertly under his brother's spinning weapon to smash and stab with his own crippling stave. Takora lunged with the outstretched hydraulics of his claw, but the Luminan were too fast and coordinated. As the Fulgurites ducked and leant expertly out of the arc claw's path, they struck it aside, bringing their staves around to smash the back of the suit's knee joint. With lightning striking the tech priest from the advancing corpuscari, scorching its exploratory way across his armored plate and hammering him back, Takora realized that there were simply too many of the Convocation to face alone. The priests of his diagnostic quorum were unarmed, but tore themselves from their communion cables and data plugs, charging the electro-priests with nothing more than their bare hands and interface bionics. Jumping from rune banks and going to grab the Luminan, they found themselves horribly outclassed. The smell of roasted flesh filled the air as Corpus Cari blazed streams from their electrostatic gauntlets into the bodies of intervening priests. Electrocuted, and with their life-sustaining augmentations melting within them, priests were thrown back over consoles by the shocking power of the streams. The Fulgurites, meanwhile, turned and spun their staves elegantly about them, draining constructs with every impact. Stabbing and backslashing, the electro-priests siphoned power from bionics, but much worse was the way their attacks leached the very electrical impulses that kept hearts beating and brains functioning. They moved with deadly grace through their dropping victims, a slaughterous dance of light and motion. With armor plating and greater reactors to drain, Omnid Takora was lasting longer, but faring no better. His explorator suit and augmentations had been developed to counter the brutality and physical superiority of the alien, creatures of size, strength, and speed. With magna hydraulics and the broad suit of clinker plating, Takora was more than a match for attacking Xenos breeds. Things that moved with alien swiftness and superhuman reflexes still could not outrun rounds shot from a cannon or avoid the blast of a detonating rocket. The gifts of the Luminan turned Takora's own capabilities against him. While he was engineered to destroy alien monsters, even he could not hope to counter the dizzying speed and grace of the warrior priests, who both drained and overloaded his monstrous workings in equal measure. With overloaded cabling and